Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm Jace. This episode is the interview I did with comic artist Barry Kitson at the Phoenix Comic Con. We talked about his first work, the process, the way he works now, what he thinks of the current state of the industry and where it's heading in the future. So I'm a huge Barry Kitson fan. I got a commission from him and bought an original page from my favorite series ever that he and Mark Waid have done, which is Empire. So I hope you enjoy the interview. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. All right, this is Jace from the Comic Source. I'm here with comic artist Barry Kitson. Barry, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, my pleasure.
How are you doing today?
Pretty good, I think. Nothing's gone disastrously wrong yet.
Well, that's a good day then.
Yep, I got through a Transformer sketch, which is always a trial of fire.
And you survived it. You came out the other side in one piece. Good job. Well, for those of our listeners who aren't familiar with your work, what do you currently have on the stands?
At the moment, on the stands would be Empire with Mark Waid, which is published by IDW and is a title that we created ourselves back in the 90s, I guess.
My absolute favorite thing you have ever done, and now this is really saying something because Mark's written about a million books, my absolute favorite Mark Waid thing ever. Listeners, if you have not read Empire, turn off the podcast right now, go and order it. It is amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Thank you very much.
Now that's my favorite work of yours. Could you pick a favorite work of your own?
It's generally whatever I'm working on at the moment because I'm emotionally kind of invested in whatever I'm doing. So when I'm drawing Empire pages, it's Empire. When I'm doing other things, it will tend to be what, you know, whatever it is, because that's what I'm immersed in at the time. But Empire is probably the thing I'm most proud of as a body of work. Although, you know, JLA Year One runs it close, and the FF that I did with Jonathan Hickman and Steve Epting, I'm very proud of.
Well, your recent work on Harbinger was also very dynamic.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, Valiant, we're a lot of fun to work for. I'm just going to digress a moment while I check. Did you want me to dedicate this to you or just...
Yes, to Greg.
Greg. Yeah. I hope that's okay, Greg.
Oh, it's more than okay.
So what we're looking at is a Legion of Superhero-inspired Supergirl. Gorgeous, gorgeous piece. I wonder, you've been around the industry for quite a while, Barry, starting back with 2000 AD.
Before that, even.
Well, what was your first work then?
My first work was Spider-Man for Marvel UK, written by Mike Collins and inked by Mark Farmer, published in October 1983.
Okay, so that, yeah, you have been around. Have been around for a little while. I wonder if you could talk about both the evolution of comic book art, how you feel it's evolved since you started in the industry, and both the evolution of your own work.
I'll do my best. Where were we?
So we're talking about how the artwork has changed since you started in the industry. Much more focused on the visual and fewer words. How you've seen that evolution and how it's affected the way you yourself.
I'm not actually sure I would totally agree with that, because I mean, certainly when I began, Marvel Way was the method, was one of the ways that people worked, which is where the artist is just given a raw plot and then draws it up. So I think that led to less words.
Okay.
Whereas now I think, you know, a lot of, because everything's full scripted, well, not everything, because Mark and I don't work that way, but 99% of the business is full scripted. There are a lot of more pages of people just having conversations. Technically, the art's changed a lot, because obviously when I started, everything was just four color.
Okay.
And, you know, you couldn't do work on computers and... So technically, there's a whole lot of stuff people can do now, and a lot of people only work digitally, so there is no hard physical artwork. So that's a big change.
What about you? Do you still work traditionally, or do you?
I do. I went digital, or went partly digital, for a couple of years, but I still get more enjoyment out of the brush actually being on paper.
Something about the visceral feel.
And there's also there's actually more of a risk doing it on paper, because digitally, whatever, you can do anything wrong, but you can fix it.
Right.
When you put in ink on paper, there's a kind of, you have to make that decision. You can't just think, oh, well, I'll see where this line goes and see what it looks like. I can always just undo.
Right.
It gives me more.
So it's a bit more exciting for you.
Yeah. Yeah, and you get more pleasure when it comes off. Obviously, you get more angst when something goes wrong. But
now, have you ever had an instance where you made what you perceived at the time was a mistake, but it ended up turning out better than what you had in your head?
I can't think of a specific example. I can think of times where I've made a mistake and it's been kind of irrecoverable, and so I've redrawn the piece, and the piece has been better when I've redrawn it.
Okay.
So it's, it was actually a blessing in disguise.
Blessing in disguise, that's a good way to put it.
I don't know what the character is.
So,
and do you have happy, you have happy accidents
happy
as
accidents,
well.
Okay. How do you feel about, especially here in America, comics having entered the mainstream with all the TV shows and the movies? Do you feel like it's for the good? Because I know I was just talking to Phil Hester, and he was talking about how there's a lot more top-down control with a lot of the really well-known properties. You don't quite have the freedom.
Yeah.
So do you see it as good or bad or somewhere in the middle?
It's easy. Well, from my perspective, I've had this conversation with other artists where we've said, we waited 20 years saying, oh, I wish they'd make a good comics movie.
Uh-huh.
And now quite a lot of us are saying, oh, I wish they hadn't done that. But it's a selfish thing. I loved comics as a kid, and my first love is still comics. And anything which takes the attention away from comics, to me is it hurts.
Right, a little bit.
It's great that so many people are interested. And I'm getting old, so I miss the old days where it was just the only people who came to comic shows were comic fans.
Right.
The only people who put costumes on were fanatical comics fans.
Right. And now you have people that only know them from the TV.
Yeah. I mean, I've been at shows where people have said to me, oh, it says here you're the penciler. What does that mean?
Wow.
And I said, well, it means I drew the book. Oh, somebody draws this? And you sort of think, well, how did you think?
Yeah, where do you think it came from?
Yeah. Also, like I say, it's great the more people are interested. I don't know if it's a good thing for the industry as a whole, because like you say, I've kind of steered away from the top-down managed books.
Right.
So I haven't had to jump through the hoops. I've been lucky enough that Mark and I have been working on a creator-owned book. And I think part of the spin-off has been there are more creator-owned books in the US now, which I think is great.
Yeah, it's kind of a golden age for creator-owned stuff right now.
Yeah. And maybe some of that has come because the more established creators want that freedom. So that may be the plus side for the industry, I think.
Now, you said that that's not the way, when I talk, we're talking about full scripts, all the way broken down to panel descriptions. That's not the way you and Mark work. Again, Empire, one of my favorite comic books ever. How is the process? How do you two work? Do you plot it together? Or
basically, we have a telephone conversation of what we want to happen in an issue. And then I'll go away and I'll thumbnail the entire issue. And then I'll send the thumbnails to Mark, and we'll discuss them. And then, you know, we'll make any changes that we want at that stage. And then I'll draw it all up, and then Mark will dialogue it.
Have a good day and don't try to get over the building.
Sometimes, you know, I don't know what the characters are actually saying until I see it in print. You know, and Mark will do stuff that still surprises me. And
that has to be exciting, though, too.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, Mark is very, very generous in the way he works. And the biggest compliment he tends to give me is I'll have drawn a scene in which I thought there was a lot of conversation, and when it sees print, it's very sparse conversation. And Mark will just say, "Yeah, you know, it didn't need it," which is, yeah, like the huge compliment for me.
I
love Mark's dialogue. So,
but that's the thing. I feel like, yeah, Mark is a great writer, but now that I sit here and think about it, one of the things I love about Empire is the emotion it evokes. And how many panels are just reaction, and there's no dialogue at all. And I think that's a credit to you, sir.
Well, thank you very much. But again, it's Mark as well, because, you know, we discussed it and we decided what's going to happen.
Right.
If I can manage to pull it off and it not need the dialogue, then that's great.
Now, we talked a little bit about comics entering the mainstream. Peer into our crystal ball. If Barry Kitson had a crystal ball, where do you see comics going as an industry and as an art form?
Wow.
Yeah, I know it's a big question. I've been asking all my interviewees at the convention.
I was going to say, probably if I could answer that question, I'd be a rich man in a few years. But I really don't know. I mean, I've been in it, like I said, been in the industry for more than 30 years, and I've seen some pretty crazy ups and downs. I can remember when Marvel were buying their own distribution company. I can remember sitting in a pub with some other creators, and we were thinking, you know, that's going to be the end of the comic industry
end
as we
times,
know it.
It's right.
Just, there'll just be comic stores only selling Marvel. And that, you know, but that never, it didn't come out that way, but you don't know at the time. So, I mean, you know, I'm wildly guessing at the moment. I like the way the creator-owned stuff has become important, and I hope that's gonna continue in the industry here. I would like there maybe to be a little less continuity craziness in the big two, but whether that will happen or whether it I don't know the corporate ins and outs, so maybe the continuity thing will just get more and more involved. I don't know. Again, I'm an old guy. I can remember when I could afford to buy every Marvel comic that was published.
Right.
And now I'm an old guy, and I get paid quite well, and I still can't. And I still afford to buy every.
As an art form, do you feel like it's going to continue to evolve?
I'm sure it will. Yeah, I'm sure it will. I mean, there's some amazing creators out there.
Are there specific creators that you follow their work, no matter?
Oh yeah, there are tons. Mostly guys I've met and are friends, but
friends you've made, right?
Writers, obviously I'll follow anything Neil Gaiman does, or Alan Moore, or Ed Brubaker, a bunch of the guys, Jonathan Hickman, I'll pretty much pick up anything and just see what those guys are doing. And that's to leave off probably 20 or 30 more other people I would add to that list.
Now, you mentioned yesterday you feel like you almost read more French comics than you do American comics.
Yeah.
What's the difference? I've never read any. I mean, is it...
The French market is an entirely different animal. They tend to bring out just one or two books of a title in a year. And they're usually hardcover, much larger. They're probably printed sort of 11 by 15, or maybe a bit bigger than that. And that there is no continuity between them, but they have a wide range of subjects, you know, for everything from science fiction to historical, romance, crime.
Do they have superhero? Is it
very few? Very few.
Superhero comics are more of an American thing.
Yeah,
I find.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And you have friends that that work in the French comic industry.
Yeah, I mean some of our American friends, like Mr. Buziek, there did a book called Red Hand with Alberti, the artist, which was great. Terry Dodson does something called Dreams, I think, has now been published in America. There's a surprisingly high crossover. Empire is published in French by Delcourt.
Well, I feel like good stories should be read, so...
Yeah.
It would be nice to see if the future of the comic industry is a little bit of a breaking down of the international barriers.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Black Sad's been published over here as well, which is another French book, which is a beautiful book. I think the problem with getting some French stuff published over here is because it doesn't fit into the established genres.
Right, so they're worried about finding an audience.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Celtic mythology is a big thing in France. There's a lot of Celtic books, a lot of steampunk titles. But they're a refreshing change. I mean, I've been drawing superheroes for 30 years, so sometimes it's refreshing to take a look at somebody who's doing something completely different.
Yeah, because you grew up loving American superhero comics.
That's the sole reason I became, about 6 or 8 years old when I saw my first Jack Kirby comic. That was when I decided,
that's what
I want to do. Yeah.
Well, do you have any upcoming work that you want to tell listeners about?
I have some upcoming work that I would love to tell you about, but I'm not allowed to yet.
Okay,
Mark and I are doing a new series for Marvel.
You and Mark?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean...
Which will be announced at San Diego, I believe.
That is... I can't... Are you going to be at San Diego this year?
I won't be, no. I believe Mark will be there.
Mark's usually there. Well, that's great. If you and Mark are on it, I don't care what it is. I'm reading it.
Well, thank you very much. I think I could say specifically it's a dream come true project for me, so... There was no way I could not jump on board.
Cool. Well, if any of our listeners want to follow along with your work, know what you have coming out, what's the best way? Are you available on social media?
I'm on Facebook. There are three different accounts that are all me, but you can only have 5,000 friends per account, apparently. People keep telling me I should open a fan page, I prefer to have friends than fans.
Right.
But yeah, you can find me there anytime. My email address is available there. And I'm always happy to try and respond to any messages I get.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for your time, Barry. It was a real pleasure.
Likewise.